In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Three months we had been wandering in the wilderness. God had given us water multiple times, manna from heaven every morning to provide for us, and quail in the evening. We settled into a pattern where we weren't expecting anything new to sort of come upon us. We thought the biggest changes were behind us, but we were wrong. We came to the mountain after 3 months, Mount Sinai. We came to the foot of this grand mountain and we camped. Moses, who had been representing this God that he claimed was out there, spoke to us, telling us that this God had rescued us from our slavery in Egypt, and therefore, having given us this freedom and this grace, this God wanted to establish a relationship with us. A relationship where he would be our Lord, and we would obey everything that he said. We quickly agreed to this, having seen the disasters in Egypt, wanting to leave that behind after all the plagues had pummeled the land. We agreed. We will obey everything this God tells us. Moses then told us that we were going to be camping for 3 days. And on the third day, God was going to come down to us. God himself was going to speak with us. That the time of Moses being the intermediary was going to be over. We would see this God, hear this God, most importantly, for ourselves. I think most of us were excited about this possibility. We lived in Egypt for our entire lives, all of us now that we're in the wilderness. And we had seen the gods of Egypt. Standing before a god and speaking to a god, no big deal. Often these objects that the Egyptians would carve and make with their own hands, set them up in their temples. We were thinking, in 3 days, what possibly could we see that would intimidate us? We've seen hundreds of gods in Egypt. We're ready for this. So we thought. As the third day rolled around, it began to happen. Moses gathered us at the base of Mount Sinai. We had all experienced storms in our lives, but we had never seen anything like this. The sheer impenetrable darkness of the clouds that gathered around the top of Mount Sinai. And then lightning and thunder at a pace and at a volume we had never experienced. The winds were insane. And Moses was gathering us at the base of the mountain, telling us that God was descending to speak with us. And the tensions, the anxiety was high. The thunder and the lightning increased to a volume where we wanted to run away. This was out of control. This was wild, beyond any of our imaginations. And the Lord began to speak. And he got in 10 words, 10 commands, that haunted us the rest of our lives. The first he said, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of slavery. I am the only Lord." Period. Then he told us that we must not create human-made images and technology that we rely on and worship. And he told us then that we must not misrepresent his name to the world. That if we are to take his name upon our lives, we must be consistent and non-hypocritical in the way that we live. that he told us that we must be a people not like Egypt, but a people of rest. A people who stop the busyness, the insanity. And then he told us that we must care for and honor our parents. That we must never kill. Never commit adultery. Never steal. Never bear false witness against our neighbors. And never desire the things of others. At this point, we lost it. The crowds screamed and hollered at Moses, "Stop the Lord speaking to us. We cannot take it. Moses, you be the one to speak to us. We do not want God to ever speak to us again. We are done listening to God. Moses, you could talk to God. We'll listen to you." And we walked away from God. In the coming days, Moses gathered with 70 elders of the people, and he wanted to renew the covenant of the 10 words, the 10 commands we had heard. And so he sacrificed animals, and he filled the bowls with blood, and he asked us, what would our relationship be with God? And we said the same thing we had said before. We will obey everything the Lord tells us. And he splattered the blood all over us and said, "This is the covenant, the blood of my covenant with you." And we said again, "Everything the Lord says, we will do it." And then we threw a banquet. And we ate and we drank. And we celebrated that we had a new God, a new Lord who would lead us. After the celebration, Moses then said, because we were unwilling to listen to God, he was going to go up the mountain by himself for a while, and he would relay what he heard. After decades of processing what happened at that mountain, I can look back and confidently tell you that we as a people failed before we ever really started our journey. And what sticks out to me the most is what we said at the base of the mountain, finally confronted with our God. We told Moses, we don't want to listen to God ourselves ever again. Moses, we want you to be the go-between. I'm confident in that very moment, we had already failed. Because as I listen to and remember those 10 words, those 10 commands that we heard from God that haunted us the rest of our lives, I realized what we ended up doing with those 10 words. We ended up hopping about halfway through and focusing on how to relate to each other. Because we were so scared of actually first relating to God. We thought if we just did the second half of the commands, we would be good. That we could replace that stormy, invisible voice on the mountain with something a lot more tame. Moses. We could manipulate him. We could twist his arm. We could overwhelm him. Moses was so easy to control. That's what we wanted. And we manipulated him for decades after. And that's where we failed. We tried to relate to each other first, without first learning to relate to God. And as I look back on it, it's hard to blame us, right? We had never experienced anything like this. The gods we had seen in Egypt were so tame, so domesticated, so under our thumb. I mean, shoot, we had made them. They were our inventions. What better gods to serve than gods that you make? Because guess then who you're serving? You're serving yourself. And we loved it. That's what we knew so well in Egypt. But that God that we met at the base of the mountain, oh, there was no chance we could control him. The storminess, the wildness, so powerful, so untamed, overwhelming. It was clear who was really in charge, and it was terrifying for the first time being faced with the reality that we were not in charge. The other gods, as I look back on it, were just foils that we had made to fool ourselves. We were the gods. And we couldn't stand giving that up. I'm still terrified thinking about that encounter with the wild God. But I'm convinced in my old age that a relationship with God is the key to everything in life. That if we cannot have a relationship with God of submission and humility and obedience before him, listening to everything he says, then we will never be able to truly relate to each other well. That if we do not put God in between ourselves, every relationship that we have between spouse and spouse, between parent and child, between father or mother and child, between siblings, between friends. If there's not a relationship with this wild God first, we will end up using each other, destroying each other, and falling apart in a great mess. I think about those first four words. There is only one Lord. And I think about how in my life I've struggled with trying to serve two Lords. That wild God and my own heart. And that second word about not creating man-made things that we rely on. I look around at all the technologies, all the things that we in our intelligence have developed, and how we lean on those things, thinking we are so clever and so smart. And the third word, about not misrepresenting God, about how quickly we, as the people of Israel, have taken the name of Yahweh upon ourselves, but we've continued to do our own thing. We're a hypocritical mess. We've blasphemed our God's name to the world. And finally, that fourth word that I believe is the turning point of the whole 10 words. Stopping. Resting. That if we're not able to stop our busyness, that we're not able to rest from the craziness of our lives, we'll never be able to have the relationship with that wild God. We'll never have the space to listen to his voice. I'm hoping that I continue to grow in being willing to listen to God for myself, not putting intermediaries between God and myself. I hope that my courage can grow to stare into the thick darkness, the thunder, the lightning, the wildness of the wind, and see God, and to be scared, but to know that He saved us. He's calling us to be His people, and that if we follow this wild God, we will find true life and freedom. Amen.